What do you struggle with in your life? I mean, really struggle with. A couple weeks ago, Pastor Josh started something that I'm calling Pastoral Confessions. He confessed about some of his weaknesses, and now it's my turn. I struggle with self-doubt. Every once in a while, there's a voice in the back of my head that says, "Who do you think you are, standing up there and speaking to hundreds of people about God and God's will? Who do you think you are? Where do you get the right to do something so bold and foolish as that?" I think it comes from being the third of three brothers. I believe they haven't named it yet, but there's something I call little brother syndrome. You know, where your older brothers put you in line and keep you in line, and they tell you, "Oh, you're not good enough. You're not big enough. You're not smart enough. You're not strong enough. Who do you think you are? Get out of here." And that stays with me. I always feel like that little kid. You're not good enough. You try and you do, but you don't do enough. You don't do well enough. That's a struggle that I face. Maybe you have your own. Physical struggles, mental, emotional struggles, relationships. We all have our fights, our battles. What do we do with them? It's appropriate, I guess, that we think about this when school is beginning for our little ones. They're going off into a social battlefield where they're going to face, you know, peer pressure, where they're going to hear those same things. "You're not good enough. You don't fit in. You're not part of the crowd. Why should you even be with us? Why don't you just get out of here? You're nothing." A social battlefield of peer pressure, bullying. Adults, too. We hear those same kinds of voices again and again. It's a battle sometimes. We're concluding our sermon series on Ephesians. And the text we have today from chapter 6 speaks to many of the struggles that we face and sums it up pretty well, presents a strategy for us. Whatever our battle is, whatever our struggle might be, it presents a strategy for us. Paul, or whoever wrote this, not everyone's in agreement on that, but I'll call him Paul. Paul says, "Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power." Did you catch that? Not your power, his power. "Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." The whole armor of God. If you've ever taught Sunday school, or you could even imagine that the little kids, particularly the little boys, appreciate the whole armor of God lesson, you know, where they can make swords and shields and helmets out of cardboard, and they can whack each other over the head, you know. Kids love it. Adults, too. I snuck home in between things yesterday afternoon, and what was on TV? Reruns of Game of Thrones, you know. It's the same game, just for adults. Yeah. We vicariously want to act out our aggressions because we know that we face battles and struggles. And what kind of strategy do we have for those battles? The text says that it's the wiles of the devil. Now, I know we perhaps have a more contemporary understanding of evil. We no longer think of evil as being personified in someone in red pajamas with horns and a pitchfork. But yet we do know that evil is real, that evil is powerful, that it gets into people and it gets into systems and groups and it does horrible things. We know that the power of evil, the wiles of the devil, is very real. So what do we do? How do we fight that? Are we defenseless? What is our strategy to be? Paul I've said it before, loves metaphors. And so it's not surprising that he picks up this metaphor of a Roman soldier's armor. The early Christians saw that every day. The early Christians faced persecution and the forces of evil. It was very real. And Paul kind of turns that metaphor on its head, something that's evil and a force of violence, and turns it into a metaphor of peace. He says, be strong in the Lord. It's actually a passive verb there. Be made strong. Because you see, you don't have the strength in and of yourself. It comes from God. Be made strong in the Lord. Put on the whole armor of God. In other words, God is the one protecting, not you. So that you may stand. So that you may withstand. So that you may stand up. So that you may persevere. So that you may not give up or give in. Stand. Stand up in the strength of the Lord. I've got a couple observations. First of all, the text reminds us of something we know pretty clearly, that there is an enemy. We are battling forces beyond our ability to fight, forces of darkness. The section of Ephesians right before our lesson for today, the one we skipped over, talks about that imagery of darkness and light. Paul says, for once you were in darkness, but now in the Lord you're light. Live as children of the light. Live as children of the light. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness. There is a battle going on. Light versus darkness. Good versus evil. We see it in our world every day. You turn on the tube, you pick up the paper, you see it right there. Or if you look within, the battle of evil, the battle of good and dark, good and light and darkness is going on inside. It's very real, very powerful, and sometimes very scary. So what are we going to do? Abraham Lincoln notably talked about our better angels, our better and worse angels. Who's going to win? Are things like racism and sexism and injustice and violence, are those things going to win? Or is good and peace and justice and hope? How are those things going to play out in our lives? Well, did you notice the enemy, the text says, is not people. That's what we do all the time, don't we? We demonize and we dehumanize the opponents, and therefore it makes it easier to fight against them by making them the enemy, when the enemy is what? Much larger, the power of evil. It says, for our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Now, what's that mean? What's going on here? Are we pawns caught in a game of cosmic battle of angels and demons? Well, yes and no. Here's how I think of it. There's something going on where evil gets into people and into groups. Have you ever seen a mob form? It starts with just ordinary individual people, just like you and I. And pretty soon they get united around a cause. And it's very easy then to demonize and dehumanize the opponents. And pretty soon they get together and the pitchforks come out, and soon they're storming the castle. It can happen to ordinary people. And yet, evil can get into them. Evil can take control. Walter Wink, a theologian from a couple of decades ago, used to talk about how groups can take on a personality when they get together. Good Shepherd has a personality, a personality of goodness. But there are other groups that have a personality that develops among them that is not good, that is evil. But the point here that Paul is making is that it's individual people are not the enemy. There's a bigger battle to be fought. The enemy is larger than just individuals. There are complex forces that cause people to do what they do. Now, this is above my pay grade, but the point that the author makes is that God provides a strategy. God provides a defense against that power of evil. The whole armor of God uses that metaphor. Now, I could go through all seven pieces of armor and we'd be here until this afternoon, and you don't want to do that. But suffice it to say, God provides a strategy. God provides a defense in this battle that we all face, whether it's a battle on a large scale of evil in our world, or if it's a battle within our hearts over those things that get into us and drive us to do the things that are hurtful. Whatever that battle is, God provides a defense. And here they are. They're itemized in his metaphor. They're truth and salvation and righteousness and peace and faith and the Word of God. Do you notice not one of those things come from us? They're all gifts. They're all gifts of God's grace. Those are the things that God gives us as a strategy, as a defense against those struggles. The interesting thing about armor, the whole armor of God, is what we're supposed to do with it. Did you notice? The text doesn't say, once you've put on the whole armor of God, now go out there and kick some butt. No, it doesn't say that at all. What it does say is kind of counterintuitive. It says stand. Stand firm. Stand up. Persevere. Don't give up. Don't give in. Stand. Stand firm. Stand on the promises. Stand on those gifts of God, truth and salvation and righteousness and peace and faith. Stand on the Word of God. Stand on those gifts. Stand up. The struggle is hard. And we might ask, how do we gather the strength to stand up to such powerful forces? And there's more. Did you catch it? It ends by telling us to pray. Pray in the Spirit at all times in every prayer and supplication. Prayer is a defense against those struggles. Prayer connects us with God. Prayer connects us with one another. Prayer reminds us that we're not alone, that God is there fighting alongside us, with us, in us, to give us the victory. Because here's the deal. The battle of evil goes on all around us. But the victory's already won. Jesus himself in his life, death, and resurrection already won the victory. His opponents just haven't noticed it yet. So stand. Stand up. Stand in there. Pray for yourself. Pray for one another. Know that you're not alone, that God is with you, that God will support you. God will never forsake you. That's the advice of the whole book of Ephesians, you see. God has blessed us in so many ways. God has adopted us. God has reconciled us. God has broken down the walls of division among us. God has loved us with an everlasting love. And now stand in that love. Stand firm in those promises. Don't give up. Don't give in. And then, as God gives you the opportunity, declare it boldly, as we must speak. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.